information that's really helpful that I want to get a chance to go through. And like I was saying, that one of the advantages right now as we're building the group on Tuesday is that it really gives us an opportunity to do more discussion and for me to be supportive in your personal study of the course or answering any questions that you have about it or anything that you're wondering about, if you'd like to get some clarity on, then I'd love to do that. So don't hesitate to do that. And one of the main things to remember about the course is you don't have to believe it. It says you don't have to accept it. You don't have to welcome it. Some of it's going to be hard to believe. Some of it's going to be startling. But if you use it, you'll find out that it works. And that's what's been, I was so glad when I got past the analyzation stage where I was like battling with everything that I would read and was trying to analyze it and just started applying the ideas. And I just noticed that every time I would get the desired result that I was looking for. So that would be one thing I would encourage you to do sometimes is just try using any of that ideas. Anybody use any of the ideas that we talked about last week or just try to focus on the parts that we talked about as far as interpretation and you're giving the meaning? Well, we're at the intro of the teacher's manual, which is page one. It's the last book in the book. Okay. I've had a lot of times this week to realize that when I was upset about something, I was responding to my interpretation of it and not to actually what was happening. Did anybody think about that, even if it was after the fact, at some point that, you know, it really wasn't the situation, it was me. And we left off last time at paragraph two. And in paragraph two, it was saying, to teach means to demonstrate there are only two thought systems. You demonstrate that you believe one way of thinking is true all the time. From your demonstration, others learn, and so do you. The question isn't whether you will teach, for there is no choice in that. The purpose of the course might be said to provide you with the means of choosing what you want to teach on the basis of what you want to learn. You cannot give to someone else, but only to yourself. And this you are learning through teaching. And like I said last week, that's why I taught it, because I knew that I can only give to myself, which is another misconception, is that we think we're giving to somebody else, but the truth is, the Course says, is that we really only are giving to ourselves. That's true from two perspectives for me, is that basically we're all one. We're all one in the same being, whether we realize it or not. You know, we're like aspen trees. You know, people familiar with the aspen tree, is like it's all interconnected to the exact same, it's really the same tree. Just poking up different places all around the ground, but it's really connected at the root. That's essentially at a psychic spiritual level the same thing that's true about us. It looks like it's a bunch of us popping up, but we really ultimately have the same source. It's like that plant. To me, that's a perfect example. You look at the leaves, they all look separate, and they might be talking, these two could be talking about each other, and then don't like this one over here, right? You know, this one right here got bad breath. And so they're talking about it, but when we get off of it, we totally see that it's really the same plant, you know, and that's the way we are. We're tripping on ourselves, but we really don't know it. And if it's a part of me that I don't like, I tend to not want to identify with it. And if it's a part of me that I do like, then I'm really willing to own it. And the problem with that is the part that I deny is the part that keeps showing up until I change my mind about it. And so that's why sometimes it seems like the people that we love the most or we have the most peace with, we don't see as much as it looks like some of the ones that we have the challenge with. Because by me not owning that as being a part of my own consciousness, I'm ordering up that lesson over and over again. They're giving me endless opportunities to change my mind about them, you know. And some of you might be right now have a couple of relationships that are giving you endless opportunities to change your mind about them. I don't know. But the truth is, whatever I want to give to myself, the first thing I want to do is teach it. And then it says to teach is to demonstrate. So the best way for me to learn is to demonstrate. And it says teaching is but a call to witnesses to attest to what you believe. Actually, teaching is a method of conversion. But this is not done by words alone. Any situation must be to you a chance to teach others what you are and what they are to you. No more than that, but never less. So I always like to make it practical. So how can I make that practical? Okay, if I want to learn the Course in Miracles, for instance, I'm teaching it, right? And so if I'm teaching it, I'm calling to witnesses to attest to what I believe. So just by teaching it and demonstrating it, then I'm drawing people to me who witness back to it, especially those who share that same idea or who are open to it. So all of a sudden, I'm not the only one that's trying to believe this. I can open my eyes and look around me and see that I have some witnesses in terms of people who are open, right? And so it also, I need to demonstrate what I'm talking about as opposed to just talking about it, because teaching isn't done by words alone. So that really makes sense if you have young children, that they're learning by your demonstration, not by what you're saying. What you're saying doesn't really mean anything, but it's what you're demonstrating is teaching them. So I can say one thing and demonstrate something else, but it's the demonstration that's really having the greatest effect. So if I want to convert my children, then I need to demonstrate to my children exactly what it is I want them to learn by me being an example of that myself. And it also works with my friends, and it also works in my relationships. So a lot of times people are talking it, but they're not really demonstrating it. And so it doesn't really fly. You know what I'm saying? If I'm talking forgiveness, but I'm not doing forgiveness, then it doesn't mean anything. So if I'm in a situation, then it says, any situation must be to you a chance to teach others what you are and what they are to you. So I'm sitting up here with you right now. So this is an opportunity for me to do what? To demonstrate what I am and to demonstrate what you are to me. So if I want to see myself as a loving person, a peaceful person, then what you all have just given me is another opportunity. This situation is another opportunity for me to demonstrate whatever it is I want to learn and whatever it is I want to be. So this is another chance for me to be loving. This is another chance for me to be open. This is another chance for me to connect. This is another chance for me to show you who I think I am, right? And it's also another chance for me to show you what I think you are to me. So the Course teaches that in any situation, those are the two things you're always really teaching, no matter what we say we're teaching. What I'm really teaching is who I am, and how I treat you is showing you what you are to me. So that's really what's happening in every situation. So if you wanted a real quick assessment of your relationships, then the people in your life are showing you what they are, and they're also showing you what you mean to them. And what's so cool about it is they're demonstrating it. So you can really kind of pass by what you hear them saying, even though it's great to say the words, because the words, Course says the purpose of words is really just to facilitate concentration. All words really do is help you exclude everything other than the thought that you'd like to see manifest. Like if I say, what I really want with you right now is peace. Well, if I ask for peace in this situation, what I'm doing is trying to exclude every thought, every feeling, and every emotion that's not aimed at that goal of having peace. So the actual words are just helping me concentrate on what I want. But it's what I'm demonstrating that's ultimately going to teach you who I am and what you are to me. Everybody with me on that? Okay. So the Course says, and what you are is what you attract and what you magnetize. So the whole metaphysical principle of thought being creative, which is what we think, what we believe, what we feel, what we accept is true. Most people don't know that that is exactly what they manifest and what they draw to them. We're not taught that in our society, so we really tend to have a very victim-conscious society. People are always talking about what somebody's doing to them or what's happening to them that they don't have any control over, because they don't realize they're creators. They don't realize that their own consciousness is ultimately drawing a lot of the stuff that they're going through, which is the hardest idea to accept in New Thought. But it's also the idea that will bring about the greatest amount of healing and the greatest amount of miracles, because we all have those areas that we feel like, well, you know, I obviously didn't have anything to do with attracting that to myself. So I always suggest to people, don't start there. You know, don't start with the hardest situation, the most painful situation, or the situation you got the most resistance to. Don't try to assume your creative power in those areas. Start in the areas that you don't have much trouble trying to own that. And at the very least, you could say to yourself, I am responsible for my experience of this situation. I'm responsible for how I'm feeling in this situation. I'm responsible for how I'm choosing to look at this situation. Even if I'm not to the point in my consciousness where I'm willing to own, I created the situation to begin with. Sometimes you have to work up to that level. But I found that the faster I can get to, I created this and I drew this to myself and I magnetized this, even though I don't know how, the faster I would see the situation correct or resolve itself. So I began to let go of the idea that I had to know how I did it, and I just started owning it by saying, somehow or another I created this, drew this to me. I don't even know how I did it, but I did it. And then I would watch the situation begin to get healed or correct itself. So you kind of have to ask yourself, do I want the situation healed as fast as possible, or do I want to be right? You know, do I really want to be happy, or do I really want to be right? You know, I want to be happy. So I'm willing now more than ever before in my life to be wrong. And it's been great, since most of the time I am. So that's been like a really cool place to be. You know, it's a more honest place. Because if I'm miserable and unhappy, I don't want to be right about it. If nothing's going right in my life, I don't want to walk around going, well, I'm right about the way the world is. I want to be wrong about every single thing that's going on in any area of my life that I feel any kind of sadness or unhappiness. I don't want to be right about that. I want another way to look at it. I want another approach to it. I want another solution. So let me throw open any questions or comments about that paragraph, because it was loaded with some very powerful ideas to take into our daily life. Any part of it didn't make sense? Or you need clarity on? Or anything you had any resistance to?
I like how it says it's a method of conversation.
Of conversion?
Oh, it's conversion.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty close. It sounds sort of like it. You know,
I was thinking, oh, it's another method of conversing.
Yeah, it is. It is. That's true, too, though.
Yeah.
It is. Because the Course in Miracles, when you talk the truth
more
to
out
people.
Of it, that's even
yeah, because when you talk the truth to people, or you talk in this way, it is to, like you're speaking another language. A lot of times it's really like people just don't get what you're talking about, even though you're speaking English. Because we're so victim-oriented. We're so much at the effect level of our experience that when you get outside of that, like every now and then, I check out the news. I have periods where I check it out more than other times. But it's funny how 90% of every single thing that you hear is either something to be afraid of, something to watch out about, or something to be defensive about. It's like if you tried to stay conscious of every single thing that you were told that you needed to watch out for, you would never get out of bed. You would never leave your house, and you would never go anywhere. It's and so I also noticed that all the commercials are for medications and prescriptions and medicine. I don't know if you've ever noticed that, but that's where all the pharmaceutical commercials are located on the news, because they know you're going to get upset about what you're seeing in most cases, so therefore you're going to want an antacid or something for your stomach or whatever. So we're being programmed to be afraid of everything that's out there, and so you walk out and you're looking at the world through that filter, and then you miss everything that's really loving and supportive. And that's what's happening with most of our friends and relatives. When they walk out and they look at the world, they're looking at it defensively in terms of what they need to watch out for. And the Course says, when you have a defensive posture, in a sense, you're asking for attack all the time because you're expecting it and you're looking for it. And so when it shows up, you get a chance to be right. But you don't know that that's the energy that you're constantly feeding with your consciousness. And basically, it's the same news I've watched ever since I was a kid. There's nothing that's different about it, actually. You're going to get the weather. You're going to hear about accidents, burglars, murders, attacks, a war somewhere, a disease or a famine or whatever. It's the exact same news. It's just got different colors, different names, different people. And so what we want to do is realize that you don't want to be in denial about what's going on in your experience, but the trick is to start to demonstrate, teach, focus on, and communicate the things that I want to draw into my life and the things that I want to create into my life. And so this is another situation that's given us an opportunity to focus on what it is we really like to have in our experience and in our personal life, because the people that we are in personal relationships with are the people that's given us the closest reflection of our own subconscious mind. Not necessarily our conscious mind, but they're definitely getting us in touch with what's going on subconsciously. That's why we're attracted to them, because they're getting us in touch with something within ourselves that we may or may not be ready to look at yet. So they really deserve so much thanks. Even the people that upset us, the Course says that we should be grateful for them, because they still have given us an opportunity to focus on what we really want, which is peace and what's in love. So they're either expressing a call for love or they're expressing love. Those are the only two things that people are doing in our personal life. They're either calling for help or they're expressing love. So everybody's giving me an opportunity to remember my purpose and to remember my goal. And then the Course says the goal creates the situations that allow you to achieve the goal. That's different. Because most people, they'll set the goal and then they'll focus all their attention on how to achieve it. And so they'll focus more attention on how to achieve it than they'll focus on actually focusing on the goal itself. And the Course says if you focus on the goal, then whether we realize it or not, the goal, that idea, will begin to create the way that it can be manifested. So then you have to just stay real conscious. But once you say you want something, you have to stay very conscious so that you can see the synchronicities and the things that are happening that's trying to bring that goal to you. Because if you really want, there's no way you can truly desire anything and not create it. It's built into the system. We are creators. But the Course says what happens is that there's not ever anything that we 100% desire. And that's why it looks like it doesn't happen as fast as we'd like it to happen, because we're not completely sure we deserve it or that it's possible for us to achieve it. So we let all that doubt in, and that's the same as saying, I'm not sure I really want this. But when I have no doubt, you've seen people who say they're broke, they have no money, right? And then you run into them 2 weeks later, and they decide they want to go to India. Somehow or another, they come up with the money to go to India. Or whatever it is they say they want to. I've never seen it. As soon as a person really sets their mind, they go, I really want to do that, they will create a way to do it. I don't care how broke they say they are or how they say they can't do it. That's why we all know that if you want to keep your energy field clear, there are no maybes. In a sense, there's yes or no. It's like if somebody said maybe to me, or I think I do that, or I'm going to try to do that, in my mind, I just say no. That way my energy is clear. You know, maybe means no to me. You know, and that's not a negative thing. It's just a way from kind of finding yourself always on the edge, wondering what's going to happen. Because you know and I know that if a person really wants to do something, they're going to do it. They're not going to say maybe. They're going to say, you know, I really want to do this, and somehow or another I'm going to do this, and we're going to work this out so I can do this. And they're going to do it. So a maybe in most cases is a no. They really don't want, they're not really clear that they want to do that right now. So if the purpose of the Course is to get us to peace of mind, then all these little tips are things that allow us keeps us from leaking, letting that energy be dispelled in ways that's not productive to us. So the curriculum you set up is therefore determined exclusively by what you think you are and what you believe the relationship of others is to you. So everything that I set up to learn in my life is going to be determined by what I think I am. So if I think I'm unworthy, I'm going to set up a curriculum in my life that does what?
Tells me I'm unworthy.
It's right. I'm going to seek out the people, the situations, and the circumstances that teach me that. If my curriculum is the curriculum that I have now, which is the curriculum is that I want to be loving, I want to have prosperity, I want to have happiness, I want to have peace, I notice that that curriculum begins to demonstrate and manifest itself for me also. And what I believe you are to me is going to determine the lesson that I learn from you. If I believe you are important to me, then you are going to teach me very important lessons, because I'm going to be paying attention to you as if what you say is valuable to me and what you say means something. So what you are to the other person determines so much about the curriculum that they set up. If your partner determines that somehow or another you are against them, then the curriculum that they're teaching themselves is they're going to focus on whatever it is that you seem to do that looks like it's not supporting whatever it is they're doing. So they're going to edit out everything positive that you do. So one of the most startling things you can do with a person sometimes is just simply ask them, what do I mean to you? What do I mean to you? How do you see me? You know, how do you perceive me? Am I valuable? And if they say something real lame like, you know you must be valuable because I'm here. I hate it when somebody says that to me. Of course I love you. I'm here. You know, that doesn't mean you love me because you're here. It might mean you just haven't found nothing better. Or you just need security. Or you're just afraid to make a move. Just because you're here, that's not any proof that you love me. But if we want to see this relationship evolve, then we need to have a curriculum. So we need to know what it is we mean to each other and what it is that we are trying to learn. Because you're going to help me learn whatever it is I'm trying to teach myself about myself. So when I'm doing a relationship seminar on Saturday, and there's going to be some approaches to that. It's going to be very different from what people are accustomed to when they think about relationships, not just romantic relationships, but any relationship. It's going to be very radical, and it's going to probably like trip some people out, but it will absolutely work. It'll absolutely work. So I definitely want to invite you all to feel free to take part in this from 10 to 6 on Saturday, and I can give you more information if you're interested after the class. Now, the Course says in the formal teaching situation, these questions of what you think you are and what you believe others are to you may be totally unrelated to what you think you're teaching, but it's impossible not to use the content of any situation on behalf of what you really teach and therefore really learn. To this, the verbal content of your teaching is quite irrelevant. Your verbal content may correspond to what you're teaching, or it may not. It's the teaching underlying what you say that's teaching you. Teaching but reinforces what you believe about yourself. The fundamental purpose of teaching is to diminish self-doubt. This doesn't mean that the self you're trying to protect is real, but it does mean that the self you think is real is what you teach. I mean, you could take any freaking sentence in this book and you could talk about it all day long. I mean, it's so thick in terms of the substance of it. Okay, so let's bring it down to earth. The verbal content of what I'm saying to you is quite irrelevant. What I'm learning right now is what I'm telling myself behind what I'm saying to you. Like right now, as you're listening to me, what's really teaching you is everything that you're saying to yourself behind what you're listening to me say. So if I really want to learn, I have to realize that the verbal content is not really relevant. What's really relevant is what I'm teaching myself behind what I say. So if I smile in your face and say I like you, but in my mind I'm thinking I don't like you at all, I don't trust you, then what I'm actually teaching myself is distrust. No matter what I'm saying verbally, it's what I'm saying mentally that's teaching me. And when people hear that sometimes, it kind of freaks them out, because it's very common for people to think opposite to what they say. It's very rare that people are giving you a really honest communication of what they really think. They're really usually thinking something else and saying what they think would be the most appropriate thing to say in that moment to not freak you out or to have peace. But what they don't realize is what they're telling themselves silently, that's what they're learning, and that's what they're going to draw to them. So that's why sometimes you see people who seem like they're really nice and they talk real nice, but it looks like they're always going through some kind of drama. It's because what they're telling themselves all day may be something that's increasing fear, even though they're saying very loving things to everybody else. If I'm a loving person, I think, and I say to you all that you're great people, which is true, but inside my mind, I'm walking around all day afraid of being attacked or afraid of being hurt, then even though I'm talking kindly, I'm really increasing my consciousness of attack. So what we want to do then is we want to be conscious. What am I telling myself? What's the conversation I'm running down in my head, regardless of what I'm telling everybody around me? Because that's what I'm going to manifest. That's what I'm going to attract to myself. So let's give ourselves a quick inventory. Silently, do you worry a lot? Or silently, are you seeing yourself as a really cool, loving person that's totally and completely like blessed, and you feel like the world is just full of opportunity, and this is a great opportunity? Zip-a-dee-doo-da. You know what I'm saying? Are you feeling good on the inside, or are you hiding a lot of thoughts, and a lot of those thoughts are weary thoughts or fear thoughts? Where you at?
Worry, fear.
Thank you.
Self-loathing.
Thank you. I love it when people are honest about what's going on, because that's how I can tell when a person is really sincere about going beyond their blocks. You know, that's great. So a part of you thinks that. Anybody else?
Fear.
Mm-hmm.
It's so funny because I'm like a Gemini, so I like have this.
You got all this focus there.
I'm like totally cool, and you know, it's like okay, I'm flowing with everything, and mm-hmm. everything's good, and you know, and then sometimes I'm just like that total yammering going on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, you're not good enough. You don't deserve that. But so it's weird because sometimes, like earlier today, I was just like, God, this is just so great. And I just love my life. And, you know, I just have this compassion. And then sometimes I have the opposite.
Right. And that's great. Remind me to make a comment about that when everybody finished, because that's a very powerful point you just made about physical manifestation. Anybody else care to share what your song is?
I feel like too, when I go through things, that I'll be in this really great place, and then I go too long in that place where I don't realize I'm kind of stuck in that, and then all of a sudden, the universe will present something that that I know subconsciously is there, and then I get a chance to work through that,
mm-hmm.
and it isn't always fun.
Mm-hmm. So if you like, when you leave here and you like riding through your day and you're going from place to place, is your train of thought more from an optimistic place, or is your train of thought more about the things that you need to change in your life to make it better?
I go back and forth.
Not one more than the other.
I definitely feel like I'm an optimistic person. I feel, because I've studied the Course for so long, it's made such a huge difference in other things in my life to give me that spiritual basis. But
mm-hmm.
it's, you know, being human is not an easy thing. I feel like I'm a spirit being, but
being spirit, having a human experience is a trip, especially when you forget your spirit in the process. And that's what happens, is that we forget who we are beyond our human identity. Then we get lost off in our human identity, and then that's when the fear really gets outrageous, because we lose sight of who we really are, and then we really think we're this image that we're projecting out, and so we lose sight of that core part of us that cannot be affected by any of this, that's beyond any of this, and that's really where our peace is located. So our human identity tells us when we rearrange and make some kind of arrangement or agreement with the world, and when we change something out here, then I finally have that peace that I'm looking for. And that's the human trick. And a conscious being is a being that's is realizing that trick, that carrot that we're dangling in front of ourselves all the time. When this one changes, then I finally can let myself be happy. And that day never comes. We'll see it in everybody around us, but somehow or another we'll fall for it. We still think when that outside thing changes, whatever it is, be it a person, a situation, a circumstance, then I'm going to be happy. And that's when you lose sight of your spiritual identity. That's how the human experience tricks us. And then what we're doing then is we're spending all our time trying to make some kind of, the Course calls it, some kind of an insane arrangement with the world. That's a great way to put it, you know. I can just get my boyfriend act right. I can just get my girlfriend act right. I can just get my husband act right. I can just get my wife act right. I can just get my mama to change. I can just get my brothers and sisters to accept me. I can just get my boss to change. I can just get a new job. I just get a new car. If I just get a new house. If I can just lose 10 pounds. If I can just get a new flat screen TV. If I can just jog more. If I can get the right message. If I can just do the right bite. You know, it's like we got this whole host of things that as soon as that handle, then I'm going to be happy. And that's the human identity. The human identity is totally fixed on everything outside of itself. So the Course is trying to get us in touch with our real identity that's beneath our sexual identity, that's beneath our racial identity, that's between our beyond our cultural identity. There's another level that we exist on that we've lost sight of. So to be in America and to have any interest in spiritual awareness, you've got to be a spiritual giant. Because our culture is not oriented toward that. Our culture is very oriented toward everything outside, right? I mean, let's face it, it is. So for you to even be sitting up here going, you know, the fact that I'm seeing so many people right now really being interested like never before in changing their perceptions, I was amazed this past Sunday being, you know, Super Bowl Sunday with all the parties and stuff. But even though it's late in the evening, usually sometimes there can be a big difference in terms of who will come out to classes and stuff like that, because it's usually like an all-day kind of a thing. And I was still amazed that last Sunday, the sanctuary was full, and then last two or three Sundays, the sanctuary has been full and the living room. And so we had to, like, put 20, 25 chairs in the living room. And the point that I'm making is in that every week it's like these different people. And what I'm seeing is that there seems to be some kind of a resurgence of interest in waking up that I haven't seen since back in the 70s or something. It's like all of a sudden people are really they're reaching their limit, and they really want to get in touch with something new and something different. So there's a great spiritual revolution that's going on that's unbelievable. And the children are a big part of this evolution, but what's happening in my perception, in so many cases, we're still giving them the exact same teachings that we got from our parents, even though we swore we were going to do it differently. But when I watch and when I listen, I'm watching people do exactly the same thing in terms of not realizing these children are extraordinarily advanced souls that are rebelling against the dishonesty of the society and their parents. It's like they can be reached, but you're going to have to be real. But we grew up in a society where that was the last thing we experienced from our parents was what was real. What we really got was what seemed proper, or what seemed right, or what seemed nice. So I'm watching this massive revolution of just what it's saying right here, where now parents are going to have to demonstrate. Now people in relationships are going to have to demonstrate to their partners. Now we reached this new level where it's called a demonstration level, where most people are going, talk is cheap. Words, okay, here's some more good words. You can just see it. It's like the word level doesn't get it anymore with people. It's like, what are you radiating? You know, what are you living? What are you expressing right now? Because that's going to create exactly what you want in your life. So when we come together like this, it may sound like we're just doing a little simple thing of sitting around, listen to me talk and listen to us talk. But what we've really done is we created a space for our higher self to shoot some energy out into our world to create some stuff for us. For just a minute, we got out of the normal mindset, which is all your inner self requires in order for your higher self to create. It's to get out of the way. So every time we get together, all we're really doing is just getting out of the way for a minute to let another part of us take over. And that excites me. That's why I'm going to be curious to see what happens in your individual lives over the next few weeks. Because it's some shifts are going to start to happen. The Course says that when your spiritual power starts to reawaken, then you find yourself more bothered by minor intrusions of discomfort that you would have tolerated at another time. You can't tolerate the stuff you used to. Which is funny, because you would think that if I'm like on a spiritual path, I would be more tolerant. But the truth is, you become more intolerant. You become more intolerant of abuse. You become more intolerant of not being able to be yourself. You become more intolerant of not receiving the love you deserve. You become more intolerant. So if you're really beginning to get it, you'll find that you won't allow yourself to take the stuff you used to take, and you get more upset faster about intrusions of discomfort on who and what you really are. So if you're finding that your tolerance for pain is getting lower, and your tolerance for crap and for illusion and superficiality is getting lower, that's a sign that you're going through a spiritual awakening. People who are asleep, they never seem to get tired of it. But you're waking up. Is anybody experiencing that?
I am. I've been doing that for a while.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, it's like, I just can't take what I used to take. I'm not going to put myself through what I used to put myself through. Who I am is going to have to be seen, have to be recognized. It's going to have to be expressed. And it's almost like you don't have any choice. It's not even like you got a choice anymore. It's just the way it is.
You can't breathe in the air around you when you're given something that just doesn't sound right anymore or doesn't feel right.
So being more authentic seems to be the order of the day. That's what it feels like to me. You know, and sometimes check yourself. Like, if you're getting ready to respond to somebody, take a breath and then ask yourself, am I really getting ready to be really authentic about what's going on? Or am I getting ready to just say my program response pattern? This is just the way I respond. Is this really how I feel? What's been odd lately is, as I've been experiencing in my life, that more honesty from the people around me, whether it's them telling me exactly what it is that they feel about whatever is happening for them relative to me or any other area of their life. And I've been doing the same thing. The interesting thing is to see yourself start to create relationships where your communication with each other, even if it's things, even if it's something that you ordinarily wouldn't like to say to each other, the other person is able to receive it in a positive space because they realize you're seeing whatever you're seeing because you want to have peace. And you're not saying what you're saying because you want to attack them. Even though at another time what you're saying could have produced a big argument. But it's like the once you get authentic about wanting your peace and then you start to share from that space of, look, I'm going to have to let you know what I'm experiencing with you right now and this is what I'm feeling right now. You're innocent, but this is what I'm feeling right now. And I'm sharing this because I want us to have peace. Then people are much more open to hearing what you got to say than if they feel like you're saying it just because you want to attack them. So what's been happening when I would do that with someone and say, hey, well, this is what's happening with me, instead of them being defensive, what's happening is they're going, well, I want to acknowledge your willingness and your courage to be willing to say what's really going on as opposed to hiding it. Because what's going to happen when people hide it is that they're going to disappear. If you wondered why there are people in your life that used to be there sometimes, but they're not there now, it's that they didn't feel safe enough to say a lot of times what was really going on. And what they do is they just disappear. It's funny, isn't it? I won't communicate something to you because I'm afraid it'll cause separation between us, right?
Yeah.
So what do? I separate, which is crazy when you really think about it. Now, I didn't tell you the truth, which might have healed our relationship, because I'm afraid that we might separate. So I'm so afraid we might separate that my way to handle it is I'll just separate. So if the relationship is not important enough to communicate about, then it's not really important. Think about it.
Lazy.
Yeah. If my relationship with you is not important enough for me to share what's coming up for me because I want to join with you because you do mean something to me, then I just reveal that the relationship really isn't that valuable to me. If I want to communicate to save it, then it's not really there. So as you open up spiritually, you'll find that you'll start to see really quick what relationships are real in your life and what relationships are not real. And sometimes it'll kind of freak you out. Because some of the ones you thought were really, really real, you'll find are the ones that are the most unreal. And then the ones you really weren't paying that much attention to would be the ones that would be the realest ones that you could imagine. So part of this awakening process is that you're going to start to get clarity about all your relationships. Some of it's going to be comfortable to get that clarity, and some of it's not. But what's happened is that there's a weeding out process that's going on that's going to move you over into that reality where you're surrounded by the people that love you and acknowledge you. And it's that in-between stage that's the disorienting, confusing part. And the Course talks about that, that when you really start changing and you haven't really completely embraced the new way, yet you haven't completely let go of the old one, that you're going to go through a period of disorientation and confusion. And that disorientation and confusion is normal. And sometimes people try to leap over the disorientation and confusion. They want to go straight from I'm totally miserable to I'm totally blissed out, without having that intervening transition period. So again, if you're doing it good, if you're doing it right, you can't tolerate stuff you used to tolerate. If you're doing it right, you're probably disoriented and confused. So any of that happening? Well, everybody, some people are doing better than they imagine, you know what I'm saying? Because I definitely got some areas right now that I'm experiencing total confusion and total disorientation, but I'm making it okay. So make that okay. It's okay. It means you're really getting it together. Every time you demonstrate, he says, that reinforces what you believe about yourself. The fundamental purpose of teaching is to diminish self-doubt. So if I want to believe in myself more, then I demonstrate who I am more so that it'll decrease my doubt about who I am. If I doubt, then I'm a loving person. But every time I get a chance, I demonstrate being a loving person, then I'm diminishing my doubt about who I am. So if I have a lot of doubt, then it means that I'm not demonstrating enough. If I have a lot of doubt, it means I'm not demonstrating what it is that I'm doubting about myself enough. Does that make sense? One of the biggest challenges with people is to say, I have so much doubt. And then of course, well, all doubt is self-doubt. Well, how do I deal with my doubt? Well, the way that I deal with my doubt is I start demonstrating, communicating, and expressing the very things that I have doubt about. So that this will diminish my doubt. If I doubt I can have friends, then I need to start allowing myself to express more of my own friendliness, more of my own openness, so that I can diminish that doubt about myself being a person who can attract people into my life. I'll see people who are very lonely, and they don't know why, and you can just observe them, and you understand why completely. They're not extending. They're not radiating. I hear people talk about all the time they're lonely or they lack relationships. They lack relationships. And they'll be sitting up in a room full of like 60 people, 70 people, like in my class on Sunday, surrounded by people who are studying the exact same thing that they are, who say they want the exact same thing. And then the class will be over and people shoot out of the room fast as they possibly can. You're surrounded by potential friends, potential supporters, all these people that like you, and you say you're lonely, but I'm not extending and creating any relationships with myself. And then I wonder why Sunday night I'm sitting at home by myself. And so that happens all the time, where we'll manifest the very thing we say we want, but our old personality will not allow us to get outside the box. It's like it has us in prison. You know, I can't talk to people. I'm too shy. I'm too bashful. I'm too whatever. And so then we become a prisoner of our own self-concept. And so really our prayer has been answered, but we are not allowing ourselves to get out of our box. So living on the edge of my box is where the cool stuff is located, you know. If I wouldn't normally walk up to anybody and say hello, then if I want to get out the box, well, getting out the box for me would be walking up to somebody saying hello. Now, my ego is going to probably choose the one person that's going to look like they weren't impressed with me coming up saying hello. You can pretty much be guaranteed that the person I'm going to walk up with, if I don't love myself, I'm going to go up to the very person who seems like they're not interested. Why? Because the part of me that doesn't want to change needs justification for staying the way I am. So it's going to single out who will probably justify me never reaching out to anybody again. So that I can go up to them, get rejected, and say, see there, it doesn't do me any good really to reach out to people. Guess what? I don't have to do that again because see what happens? Then I can go back into my old pattern. So when I get ready to try something new, the first thing I have to do is make it okay to flop. That's the first thing I do. I said, well, my old self is going to fight this new venture. And so it's probably going to try to undermine me so that it looked like I made a mistake even thinking I should have tried this thing. So when you first try something new, it's very important to expand your view where you go, okay, I'm just starting something new. My old self is probably going to rebel against that. So it's probably going to try to create what seems to be a failure around this so that I will stop what I'm trying to do. That way, if it doesn't go right when you first try, you will still persevere and keep on going. Because you realize that you're going to try to trick yourself. You know, that's why when I came here to start this class, in my mind, I had to make it okay if it was just me sitting up here. You know, because whenever you're trying something new, the part of you that doesn't want to do anything new, because I'm real comfortable teaching a class that's 5 minutes from where I live in Capitol Hill that already has a group of people coming. You see what I'm saying? So the minute I got ready to start something new, that I knew the part of me that liked the comfort of what it was already doing would try to make me doubt what I'm trying to do. And so then when I come, no matter who shows up, I don't give my peace away. And that's the goal, is never to not lose my peace. And then the more peaceful I am, then the more people will naturally gravitate to what you're doing. So that's another little trick that you want to keep in mind. Especially if you're getting ready to make a big change. And I feel like some of you are getting ready to make major shifts in your consciousness. So therefore, the old self is going to go, mm-mm, I'm going to show you that this is not going to work. So now that you've heard that, don't fall for it when that trick comes up. Don't fall. As a matter of fact, when that trick comes up, dive into your truth even more. Because if you dive in your truth even more, then you're convincing the part of you that will try to stop you, that whenever it tries to stop you, you're just going to go, deeper into the very stuff it's trying to stop you at. That's how you have to. You really have to know that there's, like the Course says, we have a split mind, and we got one part of our mind that loves us, one part of our mind that has fear. The part of us that has fear, it has an identity, and it wants to keep its identity going. And the part of us that loves, it's real, and it wants to extend also. But since we're used to coming more out of our fearful, separate identity, then in the beginning, it's going to try to pull us back into the justification for our fear. And that's why it's good to have people around you that'll remind you of it when you forget. And then that's what the Course calls a holy relationship. It's a relationship with another person that they're helping to create a safe space for you to grow, more so than the typical relationships that we have that are based on dependency and need, which is I need you to make me whole and I need you to make me complete. That's the old paradigm. And that's the paradigm that we got to drop. You know, I want you with me because you just want to be. And you appreciate me and I appreciate you. And I'm whole and you whole and we're joining our two whole selves, creating something even more whole than us. That's what I want. Not two people trying to become one. Of course, that's like you're losing yourself. You don't want to do that. You want to increase yourself in your relationship. So as soon as you say there's something about yourself that you're getting, that you want to express, then as your friend, as your partner, then I'm going, how can I create a safe space? How can I help you achieve that goal? How can I help you believe in yourself to achieve that goal? I'm not going, that's going to keep you away from home to 6:30 at night, and then you're not going to be around, and I need to get such and such a thing done, and da-da-da. So I'm thinking of everything you're saying in terms of how it's going to affect me, rather than thinking of it in terms of how can I support you in terms of who you are. Slight change, you know. So I believe you deserve to be 100% supported. That's what I believe. So, is there anything that anybody heard today that was an aha for them that they'd like to remember to take into the day? Just to say it in order to remember it. And you can look at the book if you got it, but was just anything you heard that you know you want to take with you? Because if we can bring it back out of ourselves, then we remember it more.
Well, for me, it was when you were talking about how when you visualize a goal, that already the situations to accomplish that goal have been created just by manifesting the goal. So I think for me that's
a good one.
The big thing that came.
Thank you.
Is there, and I don't know.
Go ahead.
I think it's in this one. I think it's in the Course, but that idea that whenever a problem arises, that already the solutions have been created. So it kind of is along the same.
Yeah, what I want to do is let go of the blocks to me seeing the solution. The solution is there, but I'm not seeing it. And what I'm asking for is the correct perception. I'm asking for my blocks to be removed. And so if you can focus in on the goal and then stay aware, then you'll watch the universe is constantly giving you hints about, you know, how to move. Great. That's a good one. Anybody else?
About being happy now rather than deferring it till some nebulous thing is acquired or accomplished.
Yeah, what's a trip about that one is that we already, the happiness or the joy is already built in, it's covered up, and it's independent of anything out here. That's what turns me off. To know that there's an inner joy in me that's just joyful, that has nothing to do. Sometimes it'll well up and it'll kind of freak us out. Like you might be at a traffic light or something, and all of a sudden you just feel really good for no reason at all. There's nothing really happening, no reason why, but all of a sudden you just overcome with this feeling of joy. And it kind of, have you ever had that feeling? When just for no reason at all, right? When you least expect it, all of a sudden you just overwhelmed with this gratitude and this joy. That was coming from within, and we could actually access that all the time, and it's totally independent of anything that's going on the outer.
But that's my goal. It's just being manic depressive.
Right. Well, see, and that's how the ego, and that's how our ego would actually defend against the joy. It would say something like that. Oh, if I'm really joyful, then I must be manic depressive, because that part of us that needs fear doesn't want us to be in the joy, you know. Because this identity is fearful. So if you're happy, now I'm really scared, you know. Since that must be crazy, just if I'm feeling good for no reason at all, that's really weird. Yeah. Cool. Anybody else?
I have gotten rid of some of the doubt and a more positive looking towards the goal as being positive.
Great.
That's helped me a lot.
I love to hear what my mind is realizing. Because I know who it is that's realizing this. All right. All right, I'm going to do the love offering, and then we're going to complete, and then you're going to get a chance to go out in the lab and see if you can try any of this stuff. And please, like I said, bring questions or clarifications or comments. One day, we'll be glad that we had this intimacy in this chamber to talk like this, because most of the stuff that you would ask me, believe me, after doing this, as long as I have, I can save you a lot of time. It won't be in the need for you to reinvent the wheel. You know what I'm saying? It's the course is so profound, it's simple that it's hard. Like the course says, the way is not hard, it's very different. So, we now expect unexpected income. I love this blessing. We deserve to be paid for having fun. We deserve to be paid for enjoying ourselves. We deserve to be paid for doing what we love. Don't be surprised if you discover some new talent or some new ability that you didn't even know you had, and it starts to manifest in some way or make itself known very soon now. So thank you for sharing. Let me pass this around. Thank you for sharing. Think about the kind of energy that you'd like to send ahead right now. Like, in other words, send the kind of energy out the door that you'd like to meet when you go out in the lab. If that's peace, if that's freedom, if that's love, just think of one word that represents what you'd like to meet when you go out the door. If that's God, Spirit, or Truth. So I'd like to complete with us saying this one statement together, and I'll say it first, and then we will repeat it. I am entitled to miracles. I am entitled to miracles. And last one, I am outrageously beautiful. I am outrageously beautiful. Woo, that feels so good. All right, hugs are available.